This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
People, are you ready?
Thank you indeed, Mr. DJ, and Tuesday, here we are back again. Doc Brown.
What is going on?
I've got a very, very...
Literally.
I've got a very, very important question for you, mate.
Go on.
Very important question.
Sarah.
Love.
Sarah. Sarah.
Sarah. You know what I've realised very, very early on with my naming of this show, because I think I was the one that coined the title Sarah Hugh and Doc too.
Yeah.
Is that Sarah Hugh and Doc can't always be here every single week.
It's not possible.
So I've kind of ruined the name almost immediately, because I'm not going to be here next week.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just... It's insane, really. Well, so I feel like it's false advertising.
Well, look, in all fairness, any radio show, someone's not going to make it every single time.
That's
true. Could be sick, anything could happen, blah, 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 blah. And on this particular case, I think the tricky thing as well is that all of us are performers, the three of us are performers, so there's going to be times when everyone's away.
Yeah.
So, and Sarah...
And some of us get more other work than others.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into this.
Oh, yeah, and that's why Sarah's not here today. But, you know, obviously, Sarah, not only being a DJ, so she travels around a lot like that, but she's also, as we've said before, she is a medical journalist and gets sent around the world doing that, which is pretty crazy. So she's in Paris today doing something, and her flight was booked a little earlier than she realised. So it is Hugh and Doc 2.
Got my Sarah in Paris, and she going gorilla.
That's right.
Doing medical stuff.
Yeah, that is very medical stuff. I'm sure Sarah would be super, super
Well, I think what's good is we didn't try and replace her with like a subpar female DJ.
Yeah.
You know, like, when the dude's not in on breakfast radio or whatnot, and then they get this other guy in, and you're just like, you should might as well just play me like a best of. I hate this guy.
Exactly.
You know?
I know, yeah.
We could have brought in someone and had no chemistry with her whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, and it could have just been a staring fest.
Well, Doc, talking about chemistry,
that's
actually a really good segue into another reason
Thank
why.
You. Thank
I
you.
Think she isn't actually here, because quite a pivotal moment last week on the show was when Ali,
of course,
from the FUBAR office, came in when Sarah said that she hadn't had many dates before. He asked her out on a date. And then, hang on, where is she today? Not here.
Yeah, I mean, what's she trying to do? Is she trying to avoid him? I mean, did it go so bad? Or did it just not happen at all and she feels awkward about that? Or did it go so terribly that she flew to Paris just to get away from him? And that's the city of love, you know? What a slap in Ali's face that
is. What about this? Maybe they were both staying in Paris last night and then Ali was like, no, one of us has to turn up tomorrow, otherwise it's going to look suspicious.
It's going to look weird, yeah.
So she's waiting
arriving together in like his and hers Adidas tracksuits.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to hear from Ali. And you know, we did want to do a sort of blind date catch up thing anyway.
Hang on, I'm sure. Can we get Ali in here, Nat? Producer Nat? She could probably go and grab Ali right now.
Oh, that would
and
be dope.
And then we can find out exactly what's happening. Because I didn't even know if they actually went on a date.
Who knows? I mean, for those who weren't listening last week, Ali actually bought a little sort of pre-Valentine's gift for Sarah live on the show. It was a Mr. Happy glow stick, and that's not a euphemism, that's actually what it was. In terms of Mr. Happy, the iconic Mr. Man, it was like a kind of like a glow in the dark. What did you use that for dancing?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't get my head around the fact that he gave her a Mr. Happy wand.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't have the girth to do anything other than sort of wave around in the air.
Well, if we can get Ali in here now, we could ask him about his girth as well. His romantic failings. He's coming in? Is he going to come in? Oh, right. She's asking him right now.
Okay. Oh, yeah? Is he on his way?
No.
No? Okay.
It would be curious to find out, though. But,
maybe the girth thing put him off.
Boys today, mate.
Yeah, it is. We've already talked girth. We're only like a couple minutes in.
I know.
That's bad, isn't it?
Well, it's a bit of a sign of how the next 2 hours are going to pan out.
Very possibly. And ladies, we still want your listenership. We're not going to start talking about, you know, the offside rule and the finer points of Black and Decker drills.
Oh, absolutely. We've got some very, very female orientated demographic stuff
very
on the
much
show
so.
Today.
I feel in touch with my feminine side right now.
Like, as an example here, we're going to talk about love for the next couple of minutes. Ali, how you going, mate? Ali Walker, production main man here at FUBAR. How are you, good sir?
Good, thanks, man. How are you?
We're doing very well. We just had a little bit of a question for you last week on the show. Obviously, you know, when you you heard that Sarah hadn't been out on many dates for a while, you came in and asked her out, and then we were just a little bit curious that she's not here. Wonder if you could maybe shed some light. Did you have a date and it went terribly and she just decided to leave the country, or?
Well, I showed up.
Yeah.
Damn.
But we were saying that maybe you did that because, you know, you were both in Paris together and you just didn't want it to look suspicious in the matching Adidas tracksuits.
Le City, je t'aime.
Wow.
That's quite sexy.
That was full on. I'm glad I'm sitting on this side and you guys are on that side.
That means the city I love, but I don't think it.
You know, you are saying romantic things right now to a guy that's probably got another Mr. Happy Glow on the Wand thing right in his hand,
got a Hulk
in his pants.
Supply. So.
Why are you staring at his crotch when I said that? That was kind of weird, too. Why did you do that?
I would love to have a Mr. Bump one. He was my favourite.
Mr. Bump?
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Thanks, Ali.
Sorry.
So would you go on another date, or you got something else lined up for Valentine's? Have you moved on emotionally?
I think emotionally,
physically?
Yeah, moved on. Not physically.
Not physically. No. That's hard. That's always hard.
It's really hard.
So you're still really hyphen Mr. Happy Glow in the Dark. Still, physically.
Yeah. Did she take it? I haven't seen it. Is it? It's not in there.
No, I saw her. I saw her pocket it rather swiftly. Yeah.
Is it? Oh, she's like that, isn't she?
She is. Yeah. I've had various things missing from the studio.
So, I mean, we're Doc and I are going to miss Sarah being in today, but you're probably going to miss her even more, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, this is so nice. Told you, ladies.
Yeah,
it's going to be very female-focused today.
We're going to have a lot of sensitivity over the next 2 hours.
When was the last time you guys cried?
That's a toughie. I actually cried, I think, this morning. I've got a thing, it's kind of genetic. Whenever I ride my bicycle and the wind hits me, I stream in tears.
Oh, that is cute.
And
I
look really emotional because I'm out of breath as well, so I'm wincing. I've got tears rolling down my cheeks. And Pete, you do see people like double take with concern.
Yeah, I bet.
It's even more awkward when they recognise me off the telly, you know. So wait, that's Doc Brown.
Oh, career must be going terrible. He doesn't have a car. B, he's crying because he doesn't have a car. Shit's not going so well. Camp Doc Brown, not going so well.
So what are your plans for Valentine's, Ali?
I have no idea now. I've been blown out of the water, so
she's
really screwed me over.
Do you have plans, Doc?
I don't really do Valentine's.
Ali's free.
Yeah, true. It could work. I'm quite into the anti-Valentine's, you know, doing something really anti-Valentine's.
Like mandate.
Going to watch the football.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
How's your wife feel about that?
I support Crystal Palace. Well, funnily enough, she's not a fan, so that's kind of where that was born.
Crystal Palace or Valentine's Day?
Neither.
Oh, wow.
Neither, quite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cheese and chalk, friend. Cheese and chalk.
Cheese and chalk. They work together. You know?
I'm a Spurs fan, so
really?
It might not work.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Whoa. Steady on the football talk.
Oh, yeah.
This is saying here, female-focused demographic show.
Yes.
We don't want to out-boysy the whole thing, okay?
Yeah.
It's going to be folks and females. Ali, thank you for your spin on love.
Thank you for your time. And
romance.
We'll talk again. What we're going to do is we're going to analyse the sexual tension, if there is any, however much there is, next week when you and Sarah are back. And if you're not here next week, we'll draw our own conclusions from that, methinks. Thank you, Ali.
You're on FUBAR Radio. No Sarah, Hugh and Doctor with you today. And we got heaps more coming up on the show. Stick around. Up next, we got No They Didn't. Doc's going to give you the lowdown on that.
Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
You're on FUBAR Radio. No Sarah love today. Hugh and Doc Brown joining you. And we've got tons of stuff coming up on the show. Just after 5 p.m. as well, we're going to be joined by an incredibly talented local artist as well.
Actually,
Sam Shaw.
Physically in the studio.
I know, that's going to be good, right?
Yeah.
You can reach out and reach out and touch.
Yeah,
actually it is.
And he's pretty hot, ladies.
Wow. So, yeah, we've got everything we do today, because there's two guys, there's no Sarah Love, we've got to balance it out by focus it back at the ladies.
That's right.
It back at the ladies. So you and Sam are mates, are you?
Yeah, we are, man. Actually, we met back in the Deal Real days, so back when I was running the Deal Real record store in-store nights. Actually, I don't even know if we met then, but we definitely crossed paths. And he was a young up-and-coming rapper,
yeah,
kid, really, you know, 15, 16. And now he's signed to Black Butter Records, yeah, one of the, you know, the biggest up-and-coming labels in the world. And he's singing now, you know. He's totally changed his vibe, and it just works. It just works. He's dope as hell, and we'll play a couple of his new songs when he comes in, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I'm glad I got hold of him as well when it, because I obviously, you know, I knew of him, but I hadn't seen him in years and years and whatever. And it's not easy to, you know, get hold of someone after time has passed. You think, well, I don't really know this person. Who do I know that knows him that I could get the number from? You know, and I have to say, like, I don't like doing that. Like, I say to the person, look, tell the dude that, like on email or something, like, this guy wants to, is it cool? You know, cool if he calls you? Is it cool that I give him the number?
Because, well, it's just common courtesy as well.
Do you know what I mean? Because I've got people that I might have met when I was drunk or whatever, and they said, hey, we should hook up sometime, you know, have a drink, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. And I've drunkenly given them my number.
I don't
even know the dude. The next thing I know, like, 6 months later, I get a call from, like, some promoter saying, hey, Doc Brown, I got your number from your friend so-and-so. I'm like, who? And so I thought, you know, seeing as we're all friends, it'd be cool you could come and play my gig. It's like £25. It's in Bradford, you know? We're not doing traveller accommodation, but I thought you could do it for the exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that. And then now I feel like I've got to do it because it's like a friend of a friend. I don't even know who the friend is. Like, don't give out people numbers,
No, it ain't right. And especially like that, if it's a work thing as well. I mean, I just think it could get really creepy as well, even if you just give out someone. Like, if somebody say, here's an example, right? A little while ago, somebody gave out my number to a girl they thought that I would like, and she said that she, you know, wanted to get in touch with me, and they were like, oh, here's his number, just get at him. So I got a message from someone that I basically didn't even know saying, hey, do you want to go out for a drink sometime? And I'm like, what? Who the fuck is this? Of course I want to go out for a drink. What kind of stupid question is that? A girl just texted me, yeah.
And our producer, Nat, has just told us as well that she got a voicemail from randomly from Vicky Michelle from Hello Hello. Like, if there, I don't know if there's anybody even old enough listening to this that remember this sort of random, highly unfunny kind of pastiche of World War II, always a classic place to set a sitcom.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was just loads of English actors doing terrible French accents. She had a call mistakenly from one of the actresses from Hello Hello. I don't think it gets any more random than that. Actually, it does get more random than that, because obviously, you know, reading around, doing my research, finding out interesting stories and whatnot, I stumbled across this Iggy Azalea story, right? Which is in a similar vein, because I'm sure some of the listeners would have seen this or heard about this. But, you know, she ordered a pizza. Obviously, these dudes log your numbers and whatnot. It's practical. You have the privacy concerns and whatnot, obviously. But this pizza dude realizes who it is and gives the number to his brother, who fancies the pants off of Iggy Azalea. And now, you know, one of the most famous worst rappers in the world is getting constantly this barrage of texts.
Yeah.
Nonstop from a weirdo. I mean, she's actually tweeted a few of them. She got one from him saying, hi, is this Iggy Azalea? My brother delivered something from Papa John's to you. Probably a pizza.
Nondescript.
And he gave me your number on Friday night. I'm your number one fan. Call me back, please.
Now, here, this is what I find interesting about this, right? So he's figured out this is Iggy Azalea, but I just don't know how, because he would have heard her rapping, you know, I'm so fancy in her American accent, and then they would have turned up to deliver a pizza, and she would have been going, how the fuck is going? You're right? Yeah, from Mullumbimby, mate. Fucking New South Wales.
Where is she from?
She's from Mullumbimby, right near Byron Bay on the New South Wales case from Australia.
Mullumbimby. That is like the most Australian name.
So it's like, that's what I'm trying to figure out, how they would have put the two and two together.
Well, listen,
I mean, sure, she's quite well known, sure, but surely the accent.
I guess she's so real. She's such a real rapper that when her pizza was delivered, she went to the door herself.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the door opens, the pizza boy's thinking, well, hey, I'm a pizza boy, I'm up on popular culture.
Yep.
That's raps.
That's that Aussie
Iggy
igloo.
Azalea.
That's a igloo, Iggy B, Biggie. Iggy
from,
igloo.
Igloo. I'm going to tell my brother.
The natural lady.
Because he loves the shit. So it's, for me, it's a cardinal sin.
Yeah.
But I do wonder, who are these people that think it's okay to give out numbers? I'd love to hear our listeners' stories in that respect. But even more so, I'd just love to hear, inspired partly by Nat, people who just like a phone in your phone. Like,
yeah.
Dude, we've got nothing to say to each other. Why are you still calling? Why are you still texting? This dude sent like dozens of texts to Iggy Azalea. Right. Dude, she's not texting back.
And obviously she's going to like
gonna change
it's
her gonna number.
It's going to be worldwide
like,
news, you know what I mean? Like, if anything, he, you know, he's going to probably get in a lot of legal trouble for that as well.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know,
well, he's got his brother in the shit already.
Yeah.
Because Papa John's, obviously, they got a privacy policy.
Yeah.
Can't be giving out numbers willy-nilly.
Yeah.
You know, and dude, your pizzas aren't all that as well. This is so risky.
Yeah.
This is just another reason not to go to Papa John's.
His brother's going to be cut. He probably worked his way up slowly from, you know, waiter, kitchen hand.
Yeah.
Got the big dog driver job. Yeah. The big dog on campus. And then, whew,
and now Ray's Famous has just sat there, like, wringing his hands, like, oh, baby.
All right, well, let's do this. Give us a call. The number is 0330-2230-200. And give us a call. Is it all right to give out someone's phone number? Or has somebody given out your number?
Yeah, and that doesn't include us giving out our phone number.
No.
Please take our phone number and give us a call. Or give us a tweet. Let us know what you think at FUBAR Radio.
Absolutely. And we'll take your calls up next. And Doc Brown, we'll find out more about it then. You're on FUBAR.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Action Bronson
just
and Alchemist here.
Just
let the last little bit go. Amazing, I love that.
I forgot about the skit on the end of this song, man, when I submitted it for the show. He starts singing so well. He's got quite
keep
a good
going,
voice.
Keep going.
It's very breathy. It's very breathy.
It's going to sound like an machine on us.
Very breathy.
You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 minus Sarah Love today. She is in Sweet Paris. And we are talking about, is it okay to give out your phone number? To give out someone else's phone number, right?
Mm.
Because it can really backfire. Bad things can happen. You can get like Iggy Azalea. The Aussie Igloo lady. She's getting stalked by a pizza delivery guy who got
from
her number. We're being racist right now. I think we should stop.
A little bit.
But it's fine.
A little bit.
It's fine.
But I think it's fine from a black guy towards Australia.
Yeah. I'm Welsh as well, so I'm a minority too.
There you go. And when you've got an Australian present as well, it's sort of it lessens the whole sort of racism-y blow.
Like only a ginger can call another ginger ginger.
There you go. I've got a list somewhere. I'll bring it next week.
Amazing. Yeah, so poor Iggy. Anyway, now you were saying that with because you were saying before that somebody that you had met, you'd exchanged numbers, you'd had a couple of tinnies, and then afterwards you've got a call from a random promoter saying, hey, we're
but
friends.
It happens all the time.
Has that now dusted your friendship with that other person that you're not quite sure who it was anyway?
Well, this is the thing. They're not friendships. Like, whenever someone gives my number out without telling me, it's somebody who got my number a long time ago and doesn't know me that well, but scrolling through, oh, here's the number, I'll give it to this guy. And I think it's one of them things where it's like, that'll make me look good that I've got this guy's number. Like, when people ask me for other people's numbers in the business all the time.
And what do you
do? You know what I mean? I always do the same thing. I email the person or I text the person and I say, dude, this guy's asking for your number. Do you know him? Do you want to work with him?
Yeah.
You got anything to do with him? Do you know what I'm saying? And if they're like, hell no, then boom, that's done.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I'm not going to go back to the guy and go, oh, hey, yeah, I've got his so-and-so's number. It's going to make me look good because I know him and he's famous or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but even in the realms of the non-celebrity world, you know, all the normals out there. Yeah, normal people. It happens all the time. I think it happens with guys and girls, you know, a lot as well. Hey, you reckon you could get me that girl's number?
Yeah.
How's she going to feel when you start, like, calling her, texting her out of the blue?
Whoa. Her? Mate, just 5 minutes ago, I told you that it happened to me. How do you think I feel? Yeah, because I'm a piece of meat doesn't mean I don't have feelings, Doc Brown. Doesn't mean I don't have feelings.
It's true.
Hey, Sam from Exeter, do you have feelings?
Hello there.
Do you have feelings?
I tend to not have them.
Oh, wow. Right.
That's
okay.
So handy.
No, not really. No, not really.
Now, as we said, we are minus Sarah Love today, so it's very important, as another male joining us on the show right now, that you must have feelings.
Mm. I do.
Very
I do.
Important.
And it's coming up to Valentine's
them.
Day as well, so I've got to have feelings.
What are your plans, Sam?
Cry myself to sleep, I suspect.
Nice.
No, I've got to take my girlfriend out. So
that's
cool.
That's a bit too romantic.
But like a typical man, I haven't booked anything yet.
Now, Sam, do you mind if I go straight in for the throat here?
Yeah.
Now, did you get your girlfriend's number without her knowledge?
did I? Not quite. No, that wasn't me. No, she got my number. In fairness, on a drunken night out. Probably shouldn't go into much more detail than that, I suspect.
But a good thing came out of your number being given out in
without
your full 100% knowledge.
My full 100% compass mentis consent, with a few beers down me, as it were.
I like that.
Do you think this is a guy-girl thing, though? Like, I mean, I'm sure a girl would probably not be that impressed if someone had given a guy that she didn't know her number, right? And she'd be like, what? You can't do that. That's terrible. But if the same thing happened to a guy, and he just got a text from a girl going, hey, you don't know me, but I think you're cute. Do you want to go for a drink? I'd be like, bang!
Cha-ching!
Today's going to be a good day!
Cashback!
I'd have a party.
Yeah, there you go.
So what's your story, mate? Was it about meeting your girl, or is there something else?
Well, no. As I was saying to the lady on the line, I was saying that someone kept phoning me. I hadn't given the number out. Kept phoning me, and it was this married woman, and she kept ringing me saying that, well, to cut a long story short, she thought her husband was having, well, he was bisexual and he was having a relationship with me. And it was just really, it was just one of the weirdest things in the world. I'm going, well, you're going out with Tim. I said, I don't know who Tim is. I don't have any friends. You're just denying this. What? You're just denying this. And this went on for about a month. And I'm going, well, I've had this phone number for about since 99 or something ridiculous. Kept free. And then eventually she phones up and she kept sort of ringing me going like, I know what's going on. This is just completely weird. I found it very funny as well, but completely weird. And eventually she phoned up and apologized because what she'd done is that I did a bit of gardening at the time. And what she'd done is put this number in the phone, thinking it was a similar number to her husband's ringing this other number. Right. And she was going to ring me about gardening. And in fairness, she thought it was actually me having a relationship with her husband.
What conclusion?
Are a better man than me, Sam. Can I just tell you, like, this is an example of what I'll be talking about, right? So this is about 2 weeks ago. I think I was in Tesco's or something like that. I don't know. But I was wearing like a black jumper and I wear a lot of black or whatever. So an elderly woman came up to me. She's like, sorry, whereabouts do you keep your beans or something like that? Whatever, chickpeas. I was like, I'll show you right here, love. Bang, bang, bang. Took her around. No worries. You need anything else? She's like, well, this is Tesco stuff. We're here to help. You know what I mean? And I left her thinking, da, 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 da. In that same situation, Sam, if someone had texted me and gone, are you in a relationship with my husband? I would have gone, yes, I am, all right. Okay, we're in love. And it's nothing to do with you anymore, lady. Nothing to do with you.
What me and Tim have is pure. Nothing like your sordid.
I did actually say to her, well, I'll let you know. Let me tell me what he looks like and I'll give him a go.
Good on you, Sam.
That is amazing, yeah. Sorry, you're not going to come between us, lady. Look, there's something Sam can do, bloody bike shorts and flat lemonade, that you never will. You never will, all right? Thanks so much for the call, mate. Have a great day, Sam.
Yeah, you guys. Nice to speak to you again.
Cheers, pal.
Legend. Oh, how about that? Bloody hell. That's pretty wild, man. Thanks. Do you know, actually, talking about catching people, obviously she was trying to catch someone cheating, but I saw a story recently where a girl and her dad were first time playing on Google Earth.
Right.
And they were like, oh, let's find a house. It's going to be the best. So they found their house, and there was a car in the driveway. And the wife had been cheating on them, and that's how they busted her. So the guy was, he was like, who the fuck's car is that? So he started, like, you know, doing a stalkout sort of thing, a stakeout, and then ended up catching her. And the guys, just at the time that they'd Google Earth took the photo, his car was in their driveway.
Technology has destroyed so many relationships.
I know, so many infidelities.
Hey, I'll tell you who's never been married. Terrible. The guy who invented the text message flashing up on the iPhone.
Yeah.
Whoever invented that has never been married.
He was not thinking about that at all. He really didn't. Hey, last night, Doc, I did something that was pretty painful. I'm going to admit it.
I keep telling you, you can't keep doing that. You're going to go blind, man. You've got to spend some time on
Oh, yeah, sure. Hairy wrist. Can you see any hairy palms there, mate? No, you can't. All right? It's all right. Now, something happened, and then it also made me realize that I'm on a whole nother level to some of the most famous people in the world. In the world.
On another level to them.
Mate, this is going to absolutely blow your mind. Coming up next right here on FUBAR Radio with Hugh and Doc Brown.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, minus Sarah today, but Hugh and Doc definitely.
Yeah, we're here. We're so here.
Right here on FUBAR Radio. We've got Sam Shaw. He's going to join us, a very, very highly anticipated singer-songwriter from the London area. He's going to be joining us in around about half an hour in the studio.
No, I'm excited.
It's going to be very, very good. Hey, Doc Brown, so you're an actor. You act in TV and some films and
very
stuff
much
like
so,
that.
Very much so.
Right, so you're going to really, really respect this.
Okay.
All right. Last night, do you know what I did? Because since I've only been here moved here from Melbourne like 3 or 4 months ago. Mm. So obviously I work here at FUBAR a couple of days a week.
I haven't told immigration yet, by the way. So
I was born in Wales, mate. I'm from the motherland of the UK. All right. That's how that works, right?
Such a well-rehearsed story.
And then I DJ in clubs and do a few things on the weekend. So there's a couple of days during the week where I try to fill some gaps, mm-hmm. get some extra cash. Mm-hmm. So something that I did last night, I was an extra on a film, all right? And it was quite painful. I'm not going to lie to you. It's quite painful. I don't know if I can actually say what the film was, but I can tell you this. It's the sequel to a movie that is about magic. And there's a couple of big stars in it. So it was quite painful. For starters, I was supposed to finish at 2, and I finished at 6:30 this morning. So I got home and had a few hours sleep and then came here. So that's why I'm a little bit weird.
Damn.
I'm not normally weird, just weird today. All right. So when we were on set last night and I was chatting to a few people and they were like, you know, all these films and all this magic and stuff like that, they're nothing like Dynamo. Dynamo's the real deal.
No, that's what they were saying. I can back that up.
Dynamo is amazing, right? He is amazing. But what I think that these people haven't really realised, or maybe they haven't respected enough, the majesty, the true magic of Houdini. You haven't heard of Houdini?
Well, I have now. I need to know more.
About to recognise.
Houdini, stealing the show, literally. And stop. Okay, let's go. Now I'm gonna take you to a magical place. Are you ready?
Yep, you bet.
Okay, good. You're doing great. Now give me your wallet. It's okay. I'm not holding you up.
Sure. Here you go. This is really exciting.
Okay, great. You're doing great. Now, I'll just put the wallet under this piece of cloth. Point the camera at me, Jeff. Point it at me. Great. You're doing great. And vamoosh. It's gone. You're doing great.
Wow, that's amazing.
Thank you. You've been great. I'm Houdini. Bye for now.
Can I get my wallet back?
What wallet? It's magic. Okay, pack up the camera, Jeff. It's time to go. Quickly, Jeff, quickly.
Oi, my wallet.
Houdini, stealing the show, literally. Okay, for my next feat, point the camera at me, Jeff. That's it, follow me. I'll need another member of the audience from the street. Picked at random. Excuse me, miss. Excuse me. Are you a believer? Great. You're doing great. Take my hand. Nice watch. Is it real?
Yeah, it is. It's Gucci.
Gucci, nice. Okay, so I want you to pick any number between 1 and 1,000 and focus really hard on it. Don't tell me what it is. Just focus on it.
Okay, sure.
Picked a number?
Yep.
Great, you're doing great. Now I just say the magic words, rumpety, pumpety, and...
Ow, did you just pinch me?
Yes, I did.
Why? That really hurt.
I'm sorry. My trick didn't work. Oh, well, you can't win them all. Thanks anyway, I'm Houdini. You've been great.
Ow, that was really crap, and that really hurt.
Hey, where's my watch? Quick, Jeff, run. Get the camera, Jeff, run. Houdini, stealing the show, literally.
Dinah.
Wow.
Dinah who? Never heard. It's all about Houdini, man.
Houdini. I can't wait to see the visuals behind that stuff.
It's wild. It's wild. Just close your eyes and they're there every time, mate. Just close your eyes.
There's even more magic there from Houdini.
Oh, God. There we go. Hey, coming up next. Actually, even before we get into that, we should really bring up Rap About Anything now.
This is like a weekly thing that we're doing here where basically I just, why not use our talents? You know, Sarah comes on, she gives us a special DJ set every week. Hugh comes on.
Makes coffee.
It's is good, occasionally though. Weird. And, you know, I've got this rapping past, you know, and I just think, well, why not have a bit of fun with it? let me know what you want me to rap about, and I'll rap about it, man. Hashtag rap about anything. Hit me up on Twitter, or hit me up right here at FUBAR Radio. You know, send some ideas in on Tuesday Drive at FUBARRadio.com, and I'll try and have a rap for you ready from by the end of the show. Even
yeah,
by the end of the show. Imagine that. I mean, that would be incredible. I've already got a few coming through from the good people that remember from last week, and people who've been getting at me today. I should give a special shout out to Alexander Perkins, actually, who I work with on Law and Order, who just says, I miss you and Bradley Walsh on Law and Order UK. Can you rap about that, please?
Oh, I like this that one. Sweet. See, we need to talk sweet. A lot about feelings today. As we said, yeah. Minus Sarah Love, two
some
boys.
Very sensitive men have nice. Tweeted me, which is great. At the moment, I can tell you that probably the front runner is Joanna Piana at Grand Piana. She tweeted me, my OCD neighbor. Mopping slushy snow in her garden, which is incredible. Shout out to Bathman, who just says sweet corn. You're up there. You're up there. Sometimes simple ones are the best. We had jacket potatoes last week.
Absolutely. So, you know, absolutely. Are
let's
they
get a whole
close?
Meal. Let's get a whole meal. They are a bit close. That's the thing.
Sweet corn would be nice.
List.
It would be nice on.
It goes nice with jacket potatoes. You know, if someone's going to write in with melted cheese, then I don't know, man. I might have a full meal wrap by next week.
I'm bloody hungry already. Just think about that. Mm. All right. So yeah, get tweeting now at FUBAR Radio. Give Doc topics to rap about and the
please
hashtag
do.
Rap about anything. Coming up next, Doc. Now, I'm looking at this in the show log. That producing that prints out for us, and I'm really interested to see where this goes. Basically, all we're going to tell you about what's coming up next is how many orgies is too many.
Mm.
Now we know we did say we're trying to keep this female focused because Sarah's away, and this is a bit of a boysy topic.
But we'd love to hear from females too. We'd really love to. I've got my voice notes on record.
It's coming up next on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc Two. That's The Last Skeptic, Show
Big
Me.
Tune. Big
it's a remix featuring Trim and Screwfizzer.
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 Sick, sick rapper.
You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, minus Sarah Love. Today she is in sweet, sweet Perry, the city of love. Doc Brown, talking about love.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Well, is
interesting.
Is this about love or not? I don't know if anybody's
a
been...
Form of love.
Love can be expressed in many ways, Hugh.
Many ways.
reading a story, which is actually it's very controversial. And I don't want to focus too much on the controversial side of things, but I'm sure some of the more well-read amongst you have been following the Dominic Strauss-Kahn, the former IMF chief, his troubles, trials and tribulations over the past few years. What's just popped up in the case against him at the moment in France, which is a case based around basically he's being prosecuted as almost as a pimp. Because they claim that he was soliciting girls to his house and whatnot. And like, I don't want to focus too much on the controversy of that. And also, it's a case that's ongoing. What fascinated me about the story that broke today was something that Strauss-Kahn said in his defense, which is that basically, rather than...
Just picture him. There's a precedent for this.
Hold on, Your Honor. I ain't a pimp per se, yo. Per se, Your Honor. No. What fascinated me was that instead of, you know, actually focusing on the fact that he was being accused of pimping, he got quite angry about the way the prosecutors were suggesting that he was constantly having relations with all of these girls. And this is a quote, okay? This is straight from the court case. He took to the stand. And he said, look, I committed no crime, no offense. The prosecution gives the impression of unbridled activity, he told the court. But, he added, there were only 12 parties in total, 12 orgies. That is 4 orgies per year over 3 years. So he's done the maths.
Done the maths. Yeah, you can't knock your skills there.
Now, what fascinates me about this is the word only.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he's only had 12 orgies in 4 years. Now, I've been on this earth for 30 plus years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm yet to achieve one orgy. Despite what you may believe, ladies and gents, I've never been close. I've never even been close.
Well, that's the interesting thing. Doc, married, 2 kids, is still a virgin, which is also very, really, really remarkable as well.
Yeah, and let me give a shout out to my holy children.
that is incredible, though.
12 orgies in 3 years. So 4 per year over 3 years. This is Strauss-Kahn's words himself.
Yeah.
So 4 orgies per year over. If you have one orgy in that time.
Yes.
I mean, it would blow a lot of people's minds. You'd be able to retell that story every night.
Oh, absolutely.
This guy's playing down 12 orgies in the past.
Sorry, guys, if I'm a bit flat tonight. Years. I had a 10-way yesterday,
I'm pretty exhausted today. So just the way this is so lackadaisical, the way he's just so casual about dropping that, it's making me think, maybe I'm wrong, you know? Maybe I'm not a normal guy. Maybe 12 orgies over 3 years is, you know, the requisite amount for the average man or woman.
An orgy a day keeps the doctor away.
What I would love to know from our listeners, from anybody who's got an opinion on this, how many orgies is too many orgies? And how many orgies is too few? Because I've never had one.
You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Also, now, this does obviously beckon that question, how many orgies is too many? Now, we can all speculate here, obviously, with people that have a very lackluster experience in this particular area. Now, we thought maybe it might be a good idea to actually get on a professional. Get a professional on the show.
We're not saying
a professional orgiast. All right, we're saying someone who's actually a sexual and relationship counsellor, a therapist.
Can you be a professional orgiast? Is that a thing?
Sounds like Khan's on his way.
I just don't know that Khan was getting paid.
No, I don't think he's getting paid.
In fact, from what the prosecution's suggesting, it was quite the other way around.
But look, I think it would be good just to get an actual professional opinion on this.
That would be dope.
We are joined now by Cabby Laffey, who is actually a sexual and relationship therapist. Hello, Cabby.
Hello.
Now, not only that, but you're also my auntie.
Hello, Huey.
Hi, darling. Now, look, obviously you would have heard what we were just going on about there. Like, you know, you would have come... I mean, obviously you can't divulge any details. We don't want any details. We just want your professional opinion as somebody that works in a particular field that is related to this. Is 12 orgies in 3 years a lot?
It's difficult to say because... You know, a lot of people don't tell the truth about what their experiences are. And one of the things that I would say is that most people think that what they do is normal.
And that's a good one.
Why wouldn't they? Wouldn't they? So, you know, is this guy talking about him having relationships with two people, three people at a time? You know, it's a lot of people are polyamorous.
Yeah.
They have more than one lover at a time. And sometimes... together, sometimes not.
So, Cabby, do you think there's an innocent sort of sex drive issue at the heart of this? Do you think some people have a lot more drive than others? Or do you think there's something... I mean, obviously, you would never be the one to call an individual strange or, you know, outlandish in terms of their behaviour. But I guess the vast majority of us don't have the kind of experiences that Strauss-Kahn has been having over the past 3 years.
I think he's kidding himself.
Yeah.
But hey, I think a lot of people do have very... There's very huge range of sex drivers, low to high, depending on their age, their life, their lifestyle, their interests, lots of difference. Yeah, so, you know, what's normal? I think that really depends on
the individual. That's the big one, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Because I remember, like, this is quite a few years ago when I used to have regular sex with a frying pan, and people would be like, "What? That's really, really weird." And I'd be like, "It's not like it's hot. It's not hot."
Yeah, it's not on.
Even though it's not hot, I realised I thought it was normal. Nobody else thought it was normal. So I think that's what it comes down to, really.
Do you get mates
but you did tell everyone.
Yeah.
So you did tell everyone because you wanted to find out whether other people, you know, did you want to join the frying pan club or not?
Well, that's
the thing.
Yeah, well, that's... I mean, we all want to feel included, but I think that's the thing here is that he's just throwing this away. Like, it's only 12 orgies in 3 years. Come on, guys. Who's with me? And then there's that moment when he looks around everyone in the courtroom. Guys, who's with me? Really? No one's with me? No one's with me on this?
He had his hand up for the high five and everything.
No one wanted to touch it. I don't know where that's been, man. I don't know where that hand's been.
Highly inappropriate. So what happens, what would your advice be to somebody who, say, says they have more sex drive than their partner? You know, would that lead to, a Strauss-Kahn situation? Because obviously Strauss-Kahn is a married man. Is that a natural progression? Is a higher sex drive in one person than the other? In your experience, does that bring a relationship to its knees? What happens?
Like,
well, it's
literally?
Often one of the reasons why people would come for therapy, but it's, you know, it's such a wide situation of, you know, what the circumstances might be. You know, somebody might be ill, somebody might be depressed, somebody might be just going through a tough time in their life. So, you know, could be loads of different reasons. Mm. And I think, you know, communicating and finding out the best way to have the best sex that you can as a couple is the way to go.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's the quality of what you're having can
openness.
Be much more sustaining to people.
Mm. It's about openness. Perhaps if he'd actually gone to his wife and said, look, this is what I'm into, how can I get you involved?
Yeah.
Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Maybe that should be his first port of call.
Yeah.
Oh,
but, you know, is he really going to do that?
Well, clearly not. Clearly not.
I know we have kind of like we've got a great insight into this now. I mean, obviously, if he's had 12 and he's admitted it like that in court, it's a cry for help. The guy just needs someone to hold his hand and go, it's all right. Everything's going to be all right. Now, can I just ask you, in your professional opinion, regardless of what's normal, what's this, what's that, what's what, is 12 orgies in 3 years a lot?
You really want me to give you a right answer on this, don't you?
Yeah, and I feel totally comfortable talking to my auntie about this. That's fine.
Does it go within this, you know, within the spectrum of the frying pan? I guess this is what we've got to, you know, check out.
Yeah, absolutely. Good, really, really good dodge there, by the way.
It is, and an official friend of nephew Huey's, where would you stand on a discount for
for providing orgies?
I just find therapy very expensive.
Well, you just got a little
advanced
bit there.
Trainees will often work for low cost.
That's true, but I tried that with haircuts before and.
Yeah. Doesn't always work.
I'll check your website. What is your website? Yeah. We should give that out.
Give us a plug. Give us a plug.
Psychosexualhealth.org.uk.
Psychosexualhealth.org.uk. And listeners, please don't forget to put the health in there, because if you just do psychosexual, I can't tell you what you're going to see. So psychosexualhealth.org.uk.
It could be a link to orgies.
Fantastic. Yeah, very possibly.
Brilliant stuff, Cabby. Thank you so much for your insight on that. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Lots of love.
Lots of love. Hey, we just got an email through. You can email anytime. TuesdayDrive@FUBARRadio.com. Hi, Doc and Hugh. I've been going out with my girlfriend for a couple of years, and on my birthday last year, she asked me what I really wanted. I felt like the time would be right to try some new things, and I suggested another woman joins us. She wasn't that impressed. I'm spending Valentine's Day on my own with a curry this year. Now, first thing... what's he going to do to that curry? That sounds bad, doesn't it? You know what I mean? It's not American pie, mate. No, just kidding. You can do whatever you want. It's your curry, mate. It's your curry. But what do you reckon about that one? That's a bit of a tough one, because I know, I've got some friends of mine now who shall remain nameless, who are currently...
In open relationships.
Well, they're not in open relationships, but they're together, and they are currently actively seeking... someone else to join them for the night.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've talked about it. They've decided, they're comfortable doing that.
One other person or a couple. Both called swinging. Swingers is couples and couples, right?
I think swingers is couples and couples, and you swap partners. Mm. And if it's your first time a wife swap, you have to swap. It's the rules.
So they're actively seeking a third party.
Yeah, so what do you reckon about this? Do you reckon, this guy Paul from Kent, do you reckon that's fair? Do you reckon his girlfriend's just dumped him, or do you reckon she should have... obviously it's going to be different, isn't it?
Well, I mean, personally, it's one of those things you always hear joked about or you see in TV shows or in movies where the guy's like, hey, what if we got another girl involved?
Yeah.
You know, personally, it's never been a fantasy of mine. That sounds weird to say, but I just can't think of anything... odder than to have a stranger involved, or even somebody that I knew with me and my missus. It'd just be too weird.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing that I've never really understood about menage a trois, and I don't know how graphic we want to get on drive time.
Very, very graphic.
But
paint a picture, literally.
Once,
we'll tweet it.
Once, let's say, my contribution has been made.
Yep.
I need a bit of time. I need to acquiesce. I need to...
a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, I need to have a little walk around. Maybe a sleep. What I'm telling you, Hugh, is I don't know how much excitement I could give two women at one time.
Yeah.
Really don't.
Have you never had a threesome before in your life?
Never.
Really? I've only had one.
I wouldn't know how it would begin, I have to say, you know.
Well, let me tell you, when a man loves a woman and another woman at the same time, that's kind of brutal. Look, I think, it's different for this guy, Paul in Kent, because he's saying, you know, his girlfriend obviously broke up with him after he asked.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in fairness, it's your birthday. She was probably expecting an Xbox, tickets to the football, and you've just said, I really would love to sleep with someone that's not you.
Yeah. I wonder what would have happened if he'd have said, how do you feel about getting another dude?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that you know, see, probably would have been
done
safer.
The same thing?
He maybe would have been safer if he said, let's get another couple. And then he's not being gender specific.
Yeah.
Right? And she goes, what? Terrible idea. Or if she goes, no, let's not do that. Let's just get a girl. Let's take it from there.
Interesting.
What do you
Interesting
think?
Approach. I still think she would have slapped him and walked out, but you never know. Never know. I think the best thing to do is, what about another couple? No way. Yeah, no, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I was just
jokes, bad. Jokes.
What's on TV?
There we go. Hopefully we've wrapped that one up. You're on Fubar Radio. Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. We are minus Sarah Love today. Hugh and Doc with you. Going to be joined up next by Sam Shore. It's going to be great live in the studio.
Oh, man.
Right after.
Talent.
Hard times. Very appropriately. Hard times. Baby Huey and the Babysitters. You're on Fubar Radio. Sarah, Hugh and Doc 2. Minus Sarah Love today. She is away in Paris. She will be back next week. Baby Huey are there. And we're joined now by a very, very, very special guest live in the studio now. This is he's signed to the very coveted Black Butter Records. Very, very highly anticipated artist from the London area. Mr. Sam Shore, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
We're good, man. We're hyped to have you. You're the first, like, actual live studio guest we've had, like, in the studio.
Really?
So we had a phoner with Farron Wrench in the first show.
Yeah, and he, I don't know why. He's like, I don't want to come in. I'll stand out the front and call you
from
the street.
Yeah, he was just hanging.
Weird.
Yeah, well, it's a nice area.
you know, when we came to record our demo, I locked my bike up outside the studio. I came back and there was just the lock there dropped into me to remind myself about this beautiful area we call Holloway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now you guys know each other. Hang on.
Yeah, kind of.
Let's go back in time to when you guys first met.
Properly, very recently. we were at a Dynamo show. One of the first things we talked about was Deal Real Records, you know, where I used to run like an open mic night, and Sam was telling me he used to come down at, I mean, how old were you then? Like 15?
Yeah, 15, 16.
And there was a lot of kids in there, you know, who used to come and like, well, you could see them there waiting, like running lyrics through in their head, waiting to get on the mic, and Sam was one of those rappers, you know, so I was fascinated to hear his new music, and when I turned it on, dude's singing, you know?
Yeah.
And it just, there's no other way to describe it other than it works, you know? It's like, it's that perfect combination. You know, sometimes you get rappers who try and sing the Grand Poobas of this world, you know, and then other times you get singers who try to rap and that doesn't really work. And it feels like a very natural progression. What fascinates me first and foremost about you is, how did you make that transition? Was it a conscious thing? And how did you feel about it? And how did your rapper friends feel about it?
Well, I mean, my rapper friends probably kind of had all reached a point similar to me, I guess. I mean, and they all just kind of felt it was the natural thing. You know, it felt really natural when I started singing. I think that I was always a frustrated singer.
And
anyway.
Did you used to sing little hooks for the stuff
I hadn't. I hadn't sung, and you know, when I was real little, I used to love singing.
Right.
But as soon as I sort of found hip hop, you know, or hip hop found me.
Where's that music?
As soon as I found hip hop, I was like, you know, I kind of, not only did I immerse myself in it, I just, it never even entered my head. Mm. No one was doing that. It was all cut choruses. I wanted it to be as authentic as possible, I suppose, retrospectively. At the time, the idea of singing hadn't really entered my mind. And then I guess, honestly, sounds kind of corny, but like Coldplay, like they changed it for me. Because when Coldplay had that first record, I was like randomly at a festival at V, and I just saw them play. And I was just like, and there was all these people singing the songs back with them. And, you know, and up until that point, I'd pretty much only ever been to hip hop shows where it was like, where everyone was kind of moody and bobbing and there was no girls and it was just sort of like,
and also not everybody knows all the words in a rap. You're never going to get a whole crowd knowing every word in a rap.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So people all join in on the chorus or whatever, but it is deep. When you go to a rock and roll gig and you see everybody's like religion singing every single word, and you think, I wish
I
was
a little key thing there as well, Sam, is that probably the major things in history that men have achieved was probably down to one of the similar things you just said back there, where you were watching all these girls singing yeah. Coldplay songs. Yeah. And you're like, hang on, there's none of those girls when I'm in the club rapping at hip-hop gigs. I'm going to start singing.
The girls in hip-hop clubs, you know, you don't want to mess with them.
But it was
genuinely a sort of moment.
An epiphany.
Yeah, and I was kind of, I want this, you know? And it wasn't like I then went home and sort of like went, I'm going to sing now, I'm going to try and sing. But it just kind of got me thinking, and then I sort of started trying out like little hooks. And at first I was sort of singing samples. So we were like sampling people like Rodriguez and all these cool old like folky singers.
We were reworking it.
Yeah, and then we were kind of making beats out of the instrumental parts and then trying to chop up the chorus. And then I would eventually, with the view to me like singing those parts and then taking it out. And like, that's how it sort of started happening. And then I just said one day, like, I'm going to try and write this as a melody and sing it. And from that point, I just sort of knew that rapping was going to phase out, really. And it was happening slower. You know, I was in this group. It was like Sam Shaw and Giacomo, a duo. And it was like, every song we were making, it was like less and less rapping.
Yeah.
The verses were getting shorter and shorter. You know, until the point where I've got like, we've got 2 8-bar raps, you know, and the rest is like pre-choruses and choruses.
So you're like, well, what am I now?
Yeah, exactly. And then, the problem with that was that I love hip hop. And I started to feel like I was doing it an injustice. Like I was kind of, you know what I mean?
Because
I was
not, sort you're of not like, giving it everything.
Yeah, right? And it's like, and I couldn't compete like on a, if you stop writing, as you well know, if you stop writing verses and stuff, you kind of get sloppy. People get better. The style changes ever so slightly,
and you sound outdated.
Yeah, and I was started feeling like, I'm not sure I can compete.
Mm. Have you had any? Did you get any negative feedback from your hip hop community that you have kind of grown up around?
No, because in fact, the opposite. I think people are really into it.
I think the new generation of rappers and rap fans are much more open minded than when I was like a kid. You know, when I was a kid, it was like, wait a minute, where are you even from? Like, how can you rap?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was much more
clear. And then, like, you don't be a singer. You know, you're not an R&B star.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. Yeah,
whereas now, like, you know, Drake or, I don't know, I'm trying to think of current, like, people that are huge in the game, and they just sing.
Actually, talking about singing like that as well, one of my really good mates back in Australia, a guy, Daniel Merriweather, who thinks don't quite
know Daniel. We were in a band together, man.
Oh, bang, there you go. Well, this is going back like sort of 10, 10 years ago plus, when he first started singing in clubs with rappers and stuff like that, and people would just like boo him off stage or give him such a fucking hard time, you know what I mean? And people would be like, what are you doing? Fucking choose your R&B shit. And it's like, what?
Crazy, man.
So it seemed like that transition didn't take too long as well before people were like, hang on. It's just, this is the genre, but we're making music. And we don't need to really put that in a box. We can just kind of make whatever feels right.
Well, I had this theory about, like, the way hip-hop went. And, you know, when hip-hop was kind of, like, you know, not invented, but when it sort of came into its own being, it didn't have the rules and the stipulation. It was just kind of people playing tunes at parties, and chopping up beats, and then someone would rap, and it would all just be kind of like almost quite DIY. Unorganized. And it was fun, and everyone was having fun, and then it kind of became, you know, it changed, and it became something that was a bit harder, and it became something that was like sort of in impoverished areas, and then a lifestyle, and it became really technical, and the fun element of it, not that it wasn't fun, it was fun for me, but it wasn't stereotypically fun. Yeah. It wasn't a fun scene.
And I feel like
we've come out of that now, because I think that it's so universally accepted. It's such a cemented genre. Mm-hmm. It's never going away. Mm-hmm. People used to think it would go away.
Yeah, you know.
And it's never ever going to go away. You know, it's the new rock and roll. I mean, it really is.
And it's funny, I can still hear, it's hard to describe, but you know, I saw you live. And I can still sort of hear a kind of what I would call maybe a hip hop sensibility to the way you deliver your lyrics.
Yeah.
It's like there's like a bit more rhythm, there's a bit more flow in your shit than in a lot of other singers. Like there's a lot of singers who, they got a decent voice, but they don't feel like they need to ride the track. Do you know what I'm saying? They feel like, I got a good voice. It's in harmony with the music. That's enough. But actually, I love the way that your stuff still rides the beat like a rapper would ride it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe that's because like melodically, I'm probably not as on point as some singers.
You referenced Drake there, and he's an interesting example of that, because like a real singer will tell you, yeah, Drake, he's an okay singer at best. But he does.
He ain't no Kanye.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't. I have no snobbery when it comes to singing. I guess my snobbery comes from, if I have any, comes from like a lyrical perspective.
Yeah, 100%.
Because
man,
that's what I was scrutinized for. You know, the flow is natural. I think flow. You have flow or you don't. I've seen so many decent rappers that have got great lyrics, but the flow kind of just turns me off. Or and vice versa, guys that were just crazy flow. There's loads of some of the best rappers in history aren't actually saying an awful lot. Like you know, and I wouldn't, you know, I probably wouldn't say it on radio, but you know, there's a lot of famous New York rappers that I love that kind of managed to make careers.
Let's say it, because I don't think he's gonna come and punch me in the face. Biggie wasn't the deepest rapper on the planet.
No,
he's still one of my all time favorites because his flow was outrageously good.
I kind of feel like
that about Guru. I felt like Guru was like, if you think about the amount of albums that he made, like you are going to run out of things to talk about. I could listen to entire Gangstar records where he kind of hadn't said anything that was like going to resonate with me other than just a bit of social commentary and then mostly just about how awesome he is. And he is awesome.
Classic topic.
He is awesome. But like his flow just meant that he could kind of get away with it.
Yeah, and from his beats it was just that combination, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the chemistry for sure. Hey, Sam, let's listen to your debut single. It's called Hunger. Are you cool to stick around? We'll have another chat after this.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is Sam Shaw joining us live in the studio right now. You with Doc and Hugh on FUBAR. It's his debut single. It's called Hunger.
Boom.
You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. Yeah. Sarah Love away today. Mm. And that is Hunger.
That's such
Sam
a big tune,
Shaw.
Though.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Such a big tune. It's one of them ones. It's just the first time you hear it, you're like, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just in there.
Yeah.
It's just in your head, right there.
We're lucky enough that Sam joins us in the studio right now. Mm. It's coming back now. You were just saying something pretty interesting before about a rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah. We want to hear more about your rock and roll Tuesday, you know?
Yeah.
Because me and you obviously, like, we haven't slept for about 3 years. We've just been partying solidly.
Yeah,
it's
been
pretty fun.
You know? I'm 15. Yeah. I'm 15 years old, my brother. This is the look of a weathered man.
This is
years of partying.
Break down what's been going on in the wild and crazy world of Sam Shaw today.
Okay, so I woke up at about 9 o'clock to my little Filipino mate knocking on the door because I promised him breakfast.
Okay.
And he came round and we had breakfast.
Nice,
and then.
Nice.
And then, big up Joel, by the way. Big up Joel Reyes.
How does he feel being called your little Filipino man?
You made him sound like maybe you hired him to perhaps be like a stool or something like that, put your feet on.
I mean, couldn't you say my mate came around?
Yeah, I just, I like sort of giving him a few little jokes about his ethnicity.
Yeah.
No, he's a top guy, man. He really is. He's a legend. And he came round and we had some breakfast and then we went and then I had to go to carry a Saniflow toilet to London Bridge.
Okay, now let's just pause right there because a lot of listeners aren't going to know what a Saniflow toilet is and whether or not you could carry it. They might be picturing you carrying an entire, you know, portaloo or something like that. Okay. What are we looking at here?
Is it like sanitary, like female?
So the way it works is that, like,
sorry,
if female...
it's so clear we haven't got a woman on the show this week.
Nothing to do with sanitary
towels. All I know is that bears are attracted to them.
Actually,
Full back, young'un.
They're basically, if you have a basement property, because waste has to... This is ridiculous. Waste has to flow down. So if you're in a basement and you need to pump waste out, so any waste water has to be pumped out, and to do that you need what is called a Saniflow.
Fuck that, I just move. That sounds terrible. That sounds fucking terrible.
The worst thing is it wasn't, you know, if I lived there it might be a bit better, but this is just a studio.
Is it one of those sort of compartments with like the blue juice in it that kills the odour?
Okay, like that sounds like it, that makes it sound a lot nicer than it is. What it actually is just like a box that sits under the toilet that everything that goes in the toilet goes into this box, and then there is like some blades that cut it up
and
then pump it out. And there was a pretty severe blockage.
Wow.
So I needed to get a new one.
What did that little Filipino mate eat for breakfast?
What did you cook him?
It was it wasn't him, I swear though. I couldn't do him down by saying it was him. Someone blocked it. And it was my job to fix it. And you
that's
know
crazy.
In between doing this interview and going to meet my MD for my tour.
Both cool things.
Yeah,
cool
and doing things. A rock and okay. that was, you know, planning my set for my tour that I'm doing for years and years. I had to get a toilet plumbed in. And the smell was so bad that I couldn't even be in the building while it was being
Sam
done.
Sure.
Do you reckon Rudimental used to have to do that when they first signed to Black Bar?
I like to think they did.
I hope so.
Do you know what? I think that like...
Tell me that you want me! Damn, that is stinking!
Yeah, it wasn't the nicest morning, but you know, then it was okay. I had a meet while that was happening. I got a drummer that's hopefully wants to play in the band came for like a kind of audition, and that is real audition.
Okay.
If he can stand in my studio while there is like
the
open
test.
Cesspit, that's you know, the there, test. And he can stand it and still sort of talk without like flinching. I reckon that's holds me in good stead.
When Sam hollers at me like, "Doc, I need 8 bars for this thing," I'll be like,
"Yeah, 8 bars are so."
I'm gonna phone it in. I'll record it at my place.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal getting signed to Black Butter Records. Do you think maybe
amazing.
That this is their way of saying, "Hey, like you know, it's like when you get a young footballer or whatever, don't pay him too much to start with. It's all part of the development. What we're gonna do is, look, we're gonna sign him and put him on a big tour, put him in the studio, the big producer, gonna do all this stuff, but you still have to take out the fucking rubbish.
Yeah. Put him in the Sunny Flow studio.
You know, it's
studio
like
one.
Sunny Flow studio. it's like Chess Records. You ever hear the stories of Chess Records when like the Rolling Stones went over to the States to meet all these iconic blues artists that were signed to Chess? And the story goes that they turned up and Howlin' Wolf was like painting the side of the studio because his record sales weren't, you know, he had to earn his money basically.
That's crazy.
And you're comparing yourself to the Stones as well.
No, I'm comparing myself to, even actually I think maybe comparing myself to Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah,
even
Howlin'
Wolf. Worse maybe.
Yeah.
Like that guy would eat me alive. but like, I think that on a serious level, Black Butter, they've been developing me for a while now. So they
don't rush it. I like that.
They
it's
don't.
Good. It's a good thing. I think it's a good thing,
It's better. It's better from an artistic point of view. It's frustrating as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I've been there. I don't know about you, Hugh, but you know how it is when you start dealing with big companies. You can be hanging around. You don't want to get stagnant. But there's one great thing to say about that approach, which is that how many artists you see come out, they just aren't ready, man. They've got 1-2 hits. The rest is filler.
Well, even from
foundations too, you know.
From a sort of like inside industry point of view, it's you know, they're even luckier than the ones that get signed and then they never even get anything out. That's the greatest thing that Black Butter have done for me, I suppose, is they had the foresight to go, slow down, like, this is really good. These two songs that you've got here are amazing, but the rest of your repertoire isn't up to the same level.
Not there yet.
So like, you know, just basically work so that everything's on that level. And then you know, and they took the time. They were patient enough.
And you got to prefer that. I mean, that's very humble and very honest for you to say, by the way. You got to prefer that to a bunch of yes men going, "Oh wow, Sam, it's amazing. Yeah, we'll put that out.
We've got Pitbull going to do a collab with Pitbull. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be big.
Pitbull's going to be there. He's got his trousers really high up this time. They're just under his nipples. He's ready to go.
I mean, it's good, but by him doing that, essentially, like you were just saying, it's like it creates a firm foundation for you as an artist and as a business to then you know, be able to launch your career on that bigger scale. You know?
And it's like you have the. It's weird because you always think you're ready as an artist. It's because you kind of got this burning, you know, thing. You're like, right, I'm ready. You know, you make literally like a song and you feel like it's the one, and you're like, right, this is it. I've done it now.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot more to it than that, I guess. You know, there is something to be said for just putting music online. But I kind of, once I started down the road with Black Butter, I'm really glad that I trusted them. In the way that I did, because there was definitely points when Because when I started working with them, they weren't the big powerhouse that they are now. They were they were still having success.
I've seen them grow, man. I mean, bizarrely, two of the three owners, actually one of them has left now, but two of the three founders are like old friends of mine.
Yeah, right.
You know, from outside of the music business. Yeah. It's crazy. So I've really seen from a distance that label grow and grow. I even remember one of the three co-founders coming to me when I was much much younger, starting out in the rap game, and saying, "You want to come and try spit on this thing?" And I was like, "Nah, man, that sounds too old." I was like, proper into my like boom bap hip hop. I was like, "Nah, your shit's like it's a bit too weird. I don't do ecstasy, man. I'm not down." You know?
Oh, how it's changed!
It's one of my biggest regrets.
Yeah, look at his jaw right now. You can grind pepper on that, baby.
Yeah, you know what? We should get into this other tune, but before we do, I just want to know a little bit more about it, because I heard it for the first time only a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't know anything about TCTS. So what's the hookup there?
Okay, so like when I've been sort of journeying around London working with loads of different people. I just came across TCTS. We had a session. We didn't really know what we were writing and who we were writing for, and whether it was going to be a house record or whatever. We just
these
went
guys
in.
Are DJ producers, it's just producers. Okay,
it's just one guy who is honestly one of the nicest people I've met in music. He's such a sound guy. I think he's an amazing bloke, and he deserves all the success that he's getting, and I'm sure he's going to be one of the biggest DJs, you know, in England this year, if he keeps going on the way that he was last year.
All right, you heard it here first, TCTS.
And he was like, he's very musical. Sometimes you go into sessions and it's much more about sort of people's technical knowledge.
Yeah.
They're very musical.
I call the knob twiddlers.
Yeah. He's really capable of that as well and awesome, but he's also very musical. So he was playing some nice chords, and then we kind of came up with this little hook. And then it sort of very quickly became what it was. And then, it, like all good tracks, really, we all had a bit of a panic where we're like, oh, this is actually good. Like, that sort of stifles all your creativity.
Yeah.
You're like, now I don't know what to do with it. Now I need to make it a bit bigger. It needs a chorus. And we spent sort of, I suppose we had a couple more sessions on it after that, and nothing ever really got added to it. Mm. It just kind of existed as it did after the first session. And he was signing to MTA, which had just round the corner. Mm. And we were talking to him and he about the song, and he said, yeah, he wanted it for his EP. So it went there. Annie Mac got massively behind it.
Yeah, I read that.
It kind of really nicely, because house music, I don't understand it. I'm from a similar place to you.
Yeah,
it has its own scene, and people follow it in the same way that like in hip hop, it's the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of grew quite organically, and it's done really, really well. So on social
just massive,
networks,
man.
Yeah.
I mean, people love it, man.
And if you want to go and hear this online as well and check out more stuff about Sam, you can go to blackbutter.co.uk.
That's right.
Yep. Find out all the details. Are they going to have all your tour details and stuff up there?
Yeah,
as well?
I'm about to go I think it starts on the 26th of February. I'm going to be supporting Years and Years, which is a big look for
that's
us.
Huge, yeah, man. That's Years and Years is killing it right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm absolutely buzzing. There's no point trying to play it down. I'm really buzzing for that. And like, so that'll be on there. And
let's just hope he's not supporting them for Years and Years.
Why are we laughing? I didn't get it.
I take it. Okay.
Hey, before we quickly get into this track by TCTS, it's featuring Sam Shura, joins us in the studio right now, called You. I just want to thank a couple of shout-outs to people tweeting in for Doc Brown's Rap About Anything.
Tweet
at FUBAR Radio.
Keep them coming.
We have Queefet.
Queefet.
I'm going to call you Queef Latifah because I don't know what Queefet is. Dear Doc Brown, please rap about setting light to farts and the implicit dangers therein. Another one, Alexander Perkins says, I miss you and Bradley Walsh on Law & Order UK. Ooh. Can you rap about that, please? That's the hashtag, rap about anything. We're going to get into that in the next half an hour. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio and some topics for Doc to rap about anything. Sam Shaw, thank you so much.
No worries. Enjoy
for joining us in the studio. Here we go right now. TCTS featuring Sam Shaw. This one is You. And definitely go to blackbutter.co.uk.
And follow Sam on Twitter as well.
Yeah, Sam Shaw Music.
There you go, Sam Shaw Music.
You're on FUBAR Radio. That's TCTS, DJ that's been working with Sam Shaw, who just joined us in the studio. And that U is the name of that one, and yeah, that was featuring
what a guy,
Sam
man.
Shaw.
He's a renaissance man. He's switching it up. I think he's one to watch, man. I know Animax said the same thing. I just want to throw my weight behind them as well.
Absolutely. A good mate of yours as well. So that was nice for you guys to catch up to. Yeah. You're on Fubar Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. We are minus Sarah Love today. She is away. She'll be back next week. And Doc Brown, I had something happen yesterday I feel a little bit stupid about. But I just thought maybe
this should be a regular part of the show. The stupid shit that Hugh did yesterday.
Yeah, might have to extend the show for a while. It might have to be a 4 or 5 day show. My life does seem to be a bit of a series of really fucking stupid things happening from time to time. So this is what happened yesterday, right? Could possibly be a new Thug Life episode. I don't know. Very, very likely, I would say. Very, very likely. But I got home from the gym, and I timed everything to go to the gym, come home, just enough time to have a shower, have lunch before I go off to a job, right? Mm-hmm. So I just got back, and then go into the house. Key didn't open. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Key didn't open. I was like, oh, my God. It's been double locked because everyone keeps telling me when you leave, if you're the last person to leave the house,
chub it,
double lock the door. But I've only got one key. So I was like, well, I can't double lock because I don't have...
So how was it double locked?
Well, there's two different keyholes, two different ones.
Yeah, but who did it?
Well, someone must have left. Whoever left must have just... So I was like, well, I don't know what to do. I couldn't get hold of anyone. So I was like, I've got no choice. I have to break in. Mm. I'm going to have to put on my crim hat, my crook hat. Right,
break down the geography here. What kind of door are we looking at? Is it open onto the street so everyone can see?
There's a little stoop up. Everyone can see, very very visible. So I was like, look, I'm not going to try to break in from the front, even though the neighbors kind of know who I am now anyway. But I'm going around the back. Okay, so to go around the back, I had to climb over a steel fence that was probably about what are the pointy things that go stabby stabby when you land on? What are they?
Oh,
is that something you can impale yourself on?
Yeah,
right? It was probably about eight or 9 feet high. This fence.
Damn.
So the first thing first, I had to scale that.
What kind of climber are you? On a scale of 1 to 10,
apparently pretty fucking good. Apparently about 11.
I can't climb for shit.
All right, well I'll definitely teach you someday anyway.
So you're up on the top of this fence.
Bang, got over that. That was my first obstacle. Next one was to go through we've got quite a high fence as well in the backyard, so I had to scale over that. Finally got in there, got to the back of the house. No windows are open, By the way, I've also realised, I hadn't paid much attention to this, that our backyard is quite, almost as visible as the front because there's two huge blocks of flats. So instead of all my neighbours seeing what was going on, me trying to break in the front, I've potentially got about 300 people watching out the window. So I'm thinking, shit, all right, how am I going to break in? So I couldn't get in the door. I couldn't get in the window. And then I looked up and I saw, the toilet window is wide open.
We've established you're a climber.
I'm a climber. Sure, it's two flights up. Well, not like, you know, there's like two flights. So there's the ground and the first floor. So
yeah.
I was like, well, there is the pipe drain. Drain pipe thing. You're good at this. The wordy talking thing.
Yeah.
I was like, I reckon I could probably get out that. But the question was, can I fit in the window? So I've got my crook hat on going, I'm a crook.
A little toilet window thing.
A crook from back in the day. I can squeeze through that. No sweat. No sweat at all.
So you shimmied up the drain pipe.
Couldn't even barely get a fucking leg through the window, let alone my whole body. And then in the meantime of trying to get myself back out of the window safely, both my feet came off the drain pipe and I'm hanging onto it with two hands for a minute while I'm like scratching at the thing with my legs to try to get some kind of grip on this drain pipe.
Holy shit.
So I basically nearly completely broke my neck and then I managed to like safely get back down after just about falling and killing myself, but it was definitely a failed attempt at being a crook.
Well, very much so. And so did you have to climb back over the fence as well?
And also do that and then sit on the step and wait.
And
just like by absolute chance, somebody came home and they were like, what are you doing? And even better, they were like, dude, it's not double locked. The door wasn't double locked anyway. You just didn't
give it enough oomph.
Just didn't open it right.
Oh, sure, he can climb.
He can climb.
He can't push open a fucking door.
Mate, how's that?
That's crazy.
So, yeah, my crook abilities are at an all-time low.
The closest I got to that was my wife amazed me the summer before last. We'd come straight from Jamaica to Edinburgh for the Edinburgh Festival.
Yep.
I was doing like a week's residency there, stand-up. and the promoters had hooked me up with an apartment for me and the missus and the kids, nice place. We went up there. We were obviously really tired, flown from the other side of the world. And we got in and we settled all our stuff down and we thought, you know what, let's go out for a meal. I'm not going to cook and whatnot on the first night. Let's go out for a nice meal. And anyone with kids will know this. Like, kids faff about. They just piss about when you need them to focus. They're always pissing about. So the little one, the six-year-old, she was messing around with her coat or some shit. I'd gone out with the keys. The big one and my missus had come out. And I was like, to the little one, what are you doing? Hurry up. So I came back inside. She's like, I need help with my coat. I put the keys on the dresser by the door and I helped with the coat. And it's like, come on, let's go. And we all walked out and she turned around and closed the door. And I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, no.
And we just stood, you know, that moment you just stand there and you start to work out what this really means.
Yep.
It was a Sunday night, right? The promoters have got me this flat through the estate agents. They're closed. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody to call. I can't get a spare key. So like, I'm calling around. Nobody can help me until the next day. I'm like, we're like homeless in Edinburgh. So it got to the point where we're actually thinking, right, well, let's go and eat. It's going to be a shit meal now.
Yep.
Thanks to you, six-year-old. Yep. No, I'm making her feel as guilty as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Really drilling in there so she deals with it.
And then after
that,
daddy's got to walk around Edinburgh looking for a hotel, you know? Yep. Like, so I'm looking forward to a terrible evening. My missus starts flicking through her wallet. And she pulls out, doesn't get any more family-related anecdote than this. She pulls out an IKEA family card, right?
Ah, yes.
Which is probably the most flexible of the plastic cards. And she does a thing that I've only ever seen in movies. I never believed it to be real. Like the coat hanger down the side of the car window.
Yeah.
That's just some movie shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She slips it down the length of the door, gets around the catch, and pushes it back and opens the fucking
door.
Did
it actually really? That really? Yeah. Did she like do it with confidence, or was she just as surprised with
she
you?
She did it like Axel Foley, dude.
Oh shit!
I was like, I love the shit out of this woman.
Oh, that is amazing!
Incredible!
Oh, that's true love. True love. And thank you, IKEA.
Yeah,
that's the first
big,
time.
Big shout out
Can
to
I
the
just
Swedes.
Say that is the first time in history IKEA has brought a relationship closer?
Hey,
absolutely ever.
That's so true.
Hey, give us a call right now. It's 0330223200.
That's what it is.
Give us a call right now, or you can tweet us at FUBAR Radio. When has your attempt at being a crook failed? This is what we're talking about right now. We'll take your calls up next on FUBAR Radio with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 minus Sarah Love today. And we'll take your calls right after Disclosure. It's You and Me featuring Eliza Doolittle. That's from Disclosure. Now, that is the Flume remix. Producer
Bad
from
man.
Very
Flume
bad,
is just killing me right now.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely,
too much.
Man. Absolutely. Hey, now we were just talking about our failed crime stories from your attempts at a crook, but we have unfortunately run out of time for that because. Hang on, sorry, producer now's getting at me. What are you saying? I was gonna try to do it really sly, but I can't
She's smashing her head against the window.
Now we have actually run out of time, unfortunately, to talk about that right now because we have a little bit of a celebration right now on the show.
Really?
Now something quite big that we haven't talked something very, very big that's just happened that we haven't talked about once on the show just yet is the Grammys.
Oh my days.
Grammys. Huge.
How did we forget about that?
I don't know. I have absolutely no
idea. I thought I was reading like an old story about the Grammys because there was this thing, oh, Kanye embarrasses himself saying Beyonce should win the award. And I was like, why am I reading this story from 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And it turns out that stupid dick has done it again.
Yeah.
Like, why does he think Beyonce needs his help?
And
she's doing fine.
She's
last
doing
night.
Just
I think
fine.
She's doing okay.
And it was a Beck as well.
Yeah, leave Beck alone.
Yeah, no, leave Beck
alone. He's already a loser, baby. Let him have his moment.
We got a massive congratulations right here. Last week on the show, we were joined
by... We called it.
Good friend of Sarah's, M. Fazer's, producer from Australia, who was nominated for a Grammy for his co-production on a track on Eminem's latest album, which... actually won Rap Album of the Year. M. Faze is joining us right now from LA. You must be feeling like shit, so happy, but so hungover.
No, I'm actually not hungover at all.
What?
I
Are you still high?
I caught a pretty nasty cold 2 days before the Grammys, so I took it easy.
Man.
Had a few drinks, celebratory, but yeah, I had to relax. It was all right. It was still fun. I still celebrated.
Did you go?
Yeah, we went to the preliminary ceremony where they held all the, like, I guess the genre specific awards, and then we went to the big main ceremony.
So you saw the Kanye thing up close and personal?
Nah, we actually left. We left 20 minutes before it finished just to beat the traffic because it was like, you know, there's a lot of people there. So we missed the best part. I know, we really screwed up.
Mate, congratulations!
Yeah, congrats,
first
man,
things
it's
first.
Amazing.
How does it feel? How do you feel? You've got a Grammy.
It's still a little bit crazy. Like, it's hard to believe or even imagine, you know. But when I stop and think about it, it's pretty incredible. Very exciting. I haven't started bossing people around yet, but I think when I get back home, I expect the red carpet off the runway. Off the airplane.
I would have that Grammy in my backpack, like everywhere I went, and anything that went wrong for me in life, I just pull it out and go, dude.
Just pull it out.
Mate, do you
airports,
actually
drink like coffee out of it?
How does it work? Yeah. Because obviously, Eminem won the Grammy for his album, for his, you know, best rap album. So you obviously being a co-producer on one of the tunes there. So do you physically get a Grammy? If you're involved in the making of that album, do you physically get to take one with you?
You don't take one with you. You actually have to order it, and I think even the artists that win have to buy their Grammy. Like, I'm pretty sure it's
Same
as the Arias back home. It's not like you get given it; you have to pay for it.
I could
be wrong about that. Don't quote me on that. But
tell me the prices, man.
I definitely have to buy one. So anyone involved on the album that isn't the artist has to sort of like, has to go through the proper channels and purchase their own. Mm. Otherwise, they're gonna have to make like a million Grammys per album.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Like, you know, Kanye 60 producers on one tune. There's going to be a lot of fucking Grammys going around.
Yeah, that's true.
It was funny, man. Kanye got nominated for, what song was it? I think it was Bound 2. And, you know, Bound 2 is pretty simple. Like,
it's just a straight-out sample and then the
and
little...
Then, and it was an award for the writers on the track. And there was literally, it was like a whole paragraph of writers on this one song that has barely anything going on, which is crazy to me. But
that's mad. People getting paid for nothing.
Yeah, there you have it.
Bloody hell! Hey, Mark, a bit of a personal question: Are you seeing any babes at the moment?
I am not. I am currently single.
Well, I'll tell you what: taking home a Grammy, my friend.
I'm playing it perfectly, mate.
Now, I saw Nathan Flagrant, her DJ Flagrant, who was our mate, also your manager. He was over there with you as well. He put on Facebook: the price just went up. So, and that's where we're all like, Mark must have won. So I'm expecting pretty big things when you go home, mate. When you go back to Australia, it's going to be, I dare say there's going to be a lot of press around this. And I think it's well deserved,
mate.
It's already been
pretty crazy.
Yep. Who's been?
Yeah, it's already been pretty crazy. Like, Facebook sort of blew up and had like ABC, Channel 9 and, you know, Herald Sun all doing stories. And actually, Gold Coast Bulletin are interviewing my dad, or they interviewed my dad yesterday.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Getting desperate for just any kind of scraps.
Daddy Landon.
This is M. Faze's postman.
Yeah.
What did you deliver today? Was there anything Grammy shaped?
What's that?
I was just wondering what they might ask your postman on, I don't know, in the age or something.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the postman would probably claim that he was there from day one and his Grammy just as much as mine.
Hey, mate, give us a bit of an insight into the Grammys. Like, well, obviously, most people in their lives only ever see it on TV. So what actually goes on there? I'm assuming it's probably long and quite monotonous, like a lot of other award ceremonies.
It's pretty punchy. They don't really waste any time. Obviously, you've got to sit through the ad break, which was interesting to watch. You know, and it's almost like seeing a bunch of ants run around. Like, it just gets hectic in the ad breaks. Like, everyone's moving. So they reposition people in the ad breaks, I guess. Like, you know, they'll put Rihanna at the front during the ceremony, but then before she performs, they'll move her up over here and switch seats with someone. And, it was intense. And LL Cool J sort of running around. it was pretty interesting.
I'd love
to
see that
head
up close.
Yeah. Don't touch it.
Yeah, it was cool. It was an eventful night, definitely.
Incredible.
Did you see any crazy shit? Like, there's a lot of famous people there. What was going on?
Doing something stupid.
Nothing's crazy. Like, Taylor Swift was obviously standing up dancing the whole night with the camera on her. You know, getting that viral love.
Did you pee next to anyone famous?
It was pretty stock standard, like what you'd expect. Like, nothing crazy happened. It was.
Mark,
after party that I went to was a little bit weird, but
I think I've been to a few sort of like mega famous or mega rich people's parties, and they never seem to really know just how to like party properly, like just chill, you know, and just go.
Yeah, this one was weird. This one felt like I was in like some sort of Midwest small dick town disco, like glow sticks and very terrible techno music.
Yeah, they always just overthink it and it comes out terrible. Hey, did you pee did you pee next to anybody famous?
I actually didn't. It was sort of it was pretty like segregated as far as like the famous people all sitting in certain sections, and then we weren't like terribly far away, but we definitely weren't in the same section. But we saw a few, like who do we see? I walked past like Stevie Wonder, his band sort of thing. It was that was more my thing. I was geeking out of
Sure.
And you know, the producers and things like that, like the people behind the scenes.
Just geeking out.
Hey, just very quickly before we let you go, M-Phases, of course, Mark Landon joining us right now, live from LA, of course, the Grammys.
Yeah.
Is it true that you dedicated this award to a gang that you're in back in Australia called the Sharks?
That's right.
Is that true?
The Sharks, mate.
You tell us about
that. Right, the Bangkok Sharks. Well, yeah, we're a small gang and of a few people that just enjoy scooters, basically. Enjoy scooters, and we intimidate people. We ride around in circles on our scooters and circle people like the shark. Like sharks.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We're
pretty
bad.
You're a shark to the end, though, man.
You are a shark to the end.
Exactly. You're a shark, Doc. You're in the gang.
Oh, I am, bro. Yeah.
Sarah's in the gang. Natalie's in the gang. Everyone's in the gang.
We have to get them T-shirts. We'll have to get them T-shirts.
Totes.
We got sharks T-shirts made up. We made a gang in Thailand.
I haven't worn my T-shirt yet. The sharks. Really failed.
Hey, Mark Landon, of course, M-Face. Congratulations, mate.
Yeah, congrats,
everybody is
incredible.
Very proud of you all around the world for winning a Grammy on your work on Eminem's album, which won Best Rap Album of the Year. Congratulations!
Woo!
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
No worries, mate. And I'll be in Melbourne in a couple of months, so I'll see you then.
Nice one. Catch up there, mate.
See you, legend.
See you,
bro. Peace.
Oh, nice one. Live from LA. There you go. Congratulations, man. That's big things. Very big things.
It's like a proper star-studded show now.
It really is.
Sarah's missed out. She's missed out.
She really has. She's screwed up bad. Hey, do you know what else she's missed out on? She's going to miss out on Doc's Rap About Anything. It's coming up next.
Oh,
actually,
awesome.
Are you feeling all ready for it?
Pretty much, man. I reckon like I've got my subject matter. I've got the lyrics down now. I just need like this next song break, and I'll work out the flow, and then we're good.
All right. Well, actually, out of the 5 songs that are left here on the computer log for the show, I've picked the longest one just to give you a little
perfect
bit of time.
Perfect. All right. We're gonna have Doc. Very thoughtful.
People have tweeted in at Fubar Radio, or you can tweet Doc Brown as well for topics for Rap About Anything, hashtag Rap About Anything. Coming up next, who have we got and what's it about?
Well, we've gone for Joanna Piana. She's easily my favourite tweet, who was kind of weirded out by her OCD neighbour.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. No, we'll do that up next on Fubar Radio.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on Fubar Radio.
Classic. Classic, Doc. I haven't heard that for ages.
Dude, I totally forgot about it. I got the 12 of that, and I just haven't pulled it out in, I don't know how long.
Amazing. That's Alcoholics featuring ODB, of course. Hip-hop Dronkus. You're on FUBAR Radio. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. We are minus Sarah Love today. Yeah. She'll be back next week.
And from ODB to OCD.
Ah, I like that. That is a great segue. Yeah. Well, absolutely. Talking about that.
This is FUBAR Radio with Sarah and Hugh, and who else? Ooh, what do you know? It's Doc 2, and I've got a new challenge for me and for you, the listener dudes. Check it out. What you do is hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever. Give us any topic you want, dumb or clever. And next week I'll have a little rhyme all about it. Maybe if you're quick enough, we'll even do it now. Shit, actually, I can't work that quick. Give me time and I'll pay you back with something classic. That's it. I can spit and keep it tight like a wedding ring. The name is Doc Brown, and I can rap about
Doc Brown, Rap About Anything.
It's your weekly segment with Big Uncle Doc. Yeah. Thank you for all your tweets.
Yeah.
And much love to my chosen tweet this week, Joanna Piana, who wanted me to write something about her OCD neighbor who's been out there in the snow and not just with a shovel. So this is for Joanna when you're ready.
All right, looking forward.
Let's get this one cracking.
Looking forward to finding out where this goes. Don't forget their hashtag as well. Rap About Anything.
Yeah. All right. Boom, boom, boom. Yes, Doc Brown, FUBAR Radio, Sarah, Doc, Hugh. We're here every Tuesday drive time. This one's for you, Joanna. Check this out. Now this week's shout goes out to Joanna, who's got all sorts of drama going down in her manor. But what specifically made Jo tweet me? Well, her crazy neighbour who's got OCD. And yo, where Jo lives it must have snowed this week, cause she looked out the window like, whoa, shit's deep. But Jo didn't grab the shovel cause she felt too cool for school, just wait for it to melt. But her neighbour sees every speck of dirt as trouble, and Jo didn't only go and see her with a shovel. 3 days later the neighbour hadn't stopped, she was out there in the slush with a motherfucking mop. What?
Yeah.
Not only was that really dope, man, but that was also a really, really good story. So.
Yeah, got a little story in there. I fluffed it a couple times. That's what happens when you're writing on the hoof. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm typing into my notes.
Well, not only that, I mean, if you got Jack Spink from the self-proclaimed well. Office bitch here at FUBAR filming everything, like a camera right in your face. Yeah. Doc Brown,
so
rap
listen,
about anything.
If you want your own bespoke Doc Brown rap on the Drive Time show, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, all you need to do is hit us up at FUBAR Radio or email us or call us even. Call us and let us know.
Just put in your credit card details below and you can pay via PayPal as well.
If you want to take the rap home with you, there's a cost attached.
Doc Brown, there's been no Sarah Love today, but we've had fun.
It's time for us to get out of here.
It
wasn't too sexist either. It was fine.
We did pretty well. All right, we'll catch you next week, Tuesday 4 till 6 right here on FUBAR. Later.
Peace.